will only help to speed the ball for Tippecanoe and Tyler too. For Tippecanoe and Tyler too. And with them we'll beat little Van. Van, Van is a used up man. And with them we'll beat little Van.
Good morning, y'all. Presidential election song from, I don't know, that'd be early 1800s, huh?
1840s.
Mid
1800s. This is the election of William Henry Harrison and Tyler. And what happens is Harrison takes office, catches pneumonia because he gives a long speech in the wintertime, and catches pneumonia and passes away, which makes John Tyler the first vice president to succeed the death of a president, and serves out pretty much all of Harrison's term.
Interesting. All right. Well, we're here talking about presidential elections in the 7 o'clock hour of Rosie on the House. Romy, when did you first cast a vote for a presidential election?
That would have had to have been the first Bush-Gore.
George W.
Uh-huh.
Boy, that was a horrible election. As a businessman, our phone did not ring for 4 months while everybody waited on the counting, hanging chits and chads. It was miserable. It was horrible.
Decided by the Supreme Court by just such a small margin of voters in basically one county in Florida. So that idea that your vote doesn't count or every vote counts, yes, every vote counts.
We were talking before the break about the role of fear in elections. And we're talking about particularly Goldwater as he comes forward as our Arizona representative and pushed into the campaign of 64. And boy, he had that speech.
His speech at the national convention brought up a number of things. He talked about tonight there's violence in our streets, corruption in our highest offices, aimlessness amongst our youth, anxiety amongst our elderly. There's a virtual despair among many who look beyond the material success towards the inner meaning of their lives.
That was in 64.
And he goes on.
You could read that today.
Right. And another passage was really interesting. He says, the Republican cause demands that we brand communism as the principal disturber of peace in the world today. If you took the word communism out and substitute that with ISIS, you get a lot of the same rhetoric that we hear in our election on both sides. The principal disruptor of peace in the world today. And so his whole campaign nomination accepted speech kind of outlines that this America is in dark days and there's problems and we have to hunker down and we have to face these things in such a way that we have to be serious about them. And that serious tone kind of got turned into a lot of fear. And the Johnson campaign came out with a pretty strong attack on him.
I can still see the ad. I can still see that ad.
The Daisy ad that was run as a television commercial that ran in 1964. It actually ran on September 7th during the NBC Movie of the Week on David and Bathsheba. And basically what happened is this, call the video, the commercial, this young girl is counting, pulling petals off the thing. She's counting random numbers. And then it zeroes in on her eye, and it goes to a man's voice doing a countdown. And then at the end of the countdown, the picture goes black. And then this big flash of light and this kind of thing that Goldwater was going to promote nuclear war. And that caused a lot of fear. Interestingly enough, it only ran once. The campaign was so criticized for it that they pulled the ad, but by that time it was legendary, and so it got around and people talked about it, and that really kind of created it pigeonholed him into that. I'm talking about Goldwater, pigeonholed him in that idea of he's a warmonger, he's going to take us to this brink, he's always preaching these negative kind of things. And what's another interesting thing when you talk about fear is one of the campaign issues that they brought up was his ability or stability to govern. They had gone into his past and had talked about some episodes where he had, at the time, they called mental breakdowns or nervous breakdowns. And so they kind of glommed onto that and kind of said he's unfit, he's unstable. If you remember what Goldwater's campaign was, his slogan was, in your heart, you know he's right. And, of course, Johnson comes out with their buttons that says, in your guts, you know he's nuts. And so that was a very disparaging kind of thing. Goldwater later on went to court, took the magazine articles that kind of promoted that story, took them to court and won, claiming that the term nervous breakdown was really about exhaustion and other things and not a mental state kind of an issue.
You have to wonder, do we need to make rules for these campaigns? How far back in someone's life can you go before it's not fair territory to determine if they're fit for leading or not?
They seem to drum up, if you made one comment or one decision, you know, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, are you held accountable for that? My misspent youth, I'd be hate to be accountable for. But and to be honest with you, maybe this is what scares away the quality candidates, because everybody's got something in their closets.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a high concern of mine as to where have the statesmen gone and where have the true visionary leaders with solutions that are willing to sit down and talk them through, rather than the screaming and the yelling and the finger pointing where we never cover anything.
Well, and not to disparage the media, which we're on, but, you know, that idea of, you know, who can cast the first stone, live in glass houses, that kind of idea. So I think we all have something, but it's, you know, what propels this negative campaign forward sometimes isn't anything about the issues, but about power, being able to influence, money, whatever, you know. So I'm trying not to be political.
No, you're doing a great job. Jennifer has the cut button back in the studio, so when you hear when it goes dead in your ear set, you know you've been Jennifer has muted you. Well, talking about the other historical elections that have occurred, let's go back to like one of the first real presidential elections where Washington now is going to step out.
Okay.
And we're talking Jefferson
and Adams.
And
these two were,
and they hated each other.
They were strong rivals. And part of the rivalry was that they were the foundations of our Federalist or anti-Federalist policy, or if you really wanted to make the connection, our Republican and Democrats. Jefferson was about the rural yeoman farmer, about the people. He believed in a less government, move things to the states. Adams was much more about federal power, making sure that the federal government does things. And although that sounds very democratic in today's world, it still was a very conservative mindset. In those days, sending power to the state, sending power to the populace would have been a more liberal type of a position.
Yes.
Where we would see it today as a more of a libertarian type of a position.
Absolutely. And so we've got Adams pushing for the strong federal government. We've got Jefferson saying keep it down at the state level, keep it as local as possible. And in that election, it was Adams that actually won that election, correct?
Yes. He wins the election in 1796, and then Jefferson comes in after that.
So Jefferson has to serve as his vice president.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you like to be a fly on the wall in that room?
Well,
did you think they ever shared a room together?
Yeah, I'm sure that they, for the sake of the nation, kind of worked out some of those differences. But again, it's ideology. Sometimes in the practicalities of government, you have to set ideologies aside just to get things done.
The next election, Jefferson wins, Adam retires, and then his son then comes back into the office.
Right, John Quincy Adams comes back after the War of 1812, after Madison. And I think Madison is an interesting president because, of course, he's one of the architects of our Constitution, whereas Jefferson gets a lot of credit for architecting the Declaration of Independence. Madison, you know, gets a little overlooked. And so for him to come into office, here's a guy, if you look at his presidency, is he really governing by what we might say his intentions in the Constitution versus kind of the practicalities of the Constitution? And so Madison gets, I think, a little bit too short shrift, so to speak. He has to deal with the War of 1812, and that kind of dominates his presidency, foreign policy. But if you think about his domestic, just running the government kind of thing, there's kind of the true sense of this is what this Constitution is kind of all about kind of a thing. I think it's interesting to see that juxtaposition. Is it where reality meets the theory kind of a thing?
Where is that line?
Today, there's no theory. There's sometimes there's even a question about reality in the politics, right?
Absolutely.
With all the stuff that's going on.
Can you tell me, is it true that Martin Van Buren wore women's clothes?
I don't think that's true.
You think that's some more campaign mudslinging?
I think there's quite a bit more campaign mudslinging.
Well, we're kind of looking through a book, Anything for a Vote, that I picked up at the Truman Library just last week while I was in Kansas City. The author is Joseph Cummins, C-U-M-N-I-N-S. It is really a pretty, I guess, there's chapters in here, Dr. Dean. Sometimes I laugh my way through them, and sometimes I cry my way through them.
How could politics be so sad, right?
Oh, man. Absolutely heartbreaking. We were talking about one of my favorite authors. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, does the book talk anything about Eisenhower?
Yes. Yeah, it goes all the way through. I haven't got to the end of the book yet, so I'm not sure what campaign it ends at. I'm trying to think the first campaign I voted in. I'm pretty sure it was Carter Reagan. I was in school.
1980. Carter's reelection.
And I would have been.
He was the incumbent. And Reagan comes out of the West again at the convention and wins the Republican nomination and then takes on Carter and beats him pretty handily.
Yeah, pretty handily. it goes all the way to Barack Obama, Mitt Romney. So it goes all the way up to the last election. So, like I said, I haven't got that far yet. But it really is kind of a laugh and cry book all at the same time. But we were talking about one of my favorite authors, a fellow by the name of Irving Stone. And another book I've read that I really like of his, They Also Ran. And it talks about all the presidential candidates that ran and didn't win. And he kind of ends each chapter with an analysis of many, many times the best person for the job with the most qualifications that probably would have been the best leader has not ended up in the office.
Right. My favorite in that category of the almost one kind of is William Jennings Bryan, populist, taking on big business, taking on the gold standard, taking on some real solid issues
Westerners. Let's hold that thought. We're going to have to take a little commercial break, and let's come back and talk more about that in the final segment. It's Rosie on the House. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back with Dr. David Dean from the Grand Canyon University. He's assistant professor of history. He's always one of our favorite guests. And Romy, you've got John Jay coming in at 8 o'clock.
Jay will be in talking landscape and gardening. Then we have, as you had mentioned, the 9 o'clock hour open line hour. We'll be joined by
folks from Bellegarde
talking about the
Superlight,
the event, and what the Masons are judged on. 10 o'clock, we'll be joined by Sun Valley Solar talking, obviously solar, but in particularly as it relates to SRP.
Absolutely. We're broadcasting live today from the event. It's called the Arizona's 2016 Fastest Trowel on the Block, sponsored by Superlight, Old Castle, and the Arizona Masonry Grill. They're going to have a contest here. Who are the fastest Masons? There's going to be some, you know, we're talking about dirty elections. I tell you what, there's going to be some real mudslinging going on here. Did you get it? Yeah, grout, mortar, mudslinging, trowels. At the Fastest Trowel event.
Stay tuned. We got more of those.
Absolutely.